Welcome to the first round playoff edition of the High School Playbook. The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. There are eight teams across UC Sports Nation that qualified for the TSSAA state playoffs. To start off, let's check in with the Upperman Bees and head coach Adam Kane.
I'll have to say it was a much more difficult, rigorous regular season than the year before. And I like to think that has to do with our opponent being really good rather than, you know, us not being as good. I know we played a really good Cookeville team. You know, DeKalb's got a winning record. Smith had a good year. Oneida is always a good football team. You know, Watertown, they're a fantastic football team. And we've had to find ways to win. You know, different styles. You know, we've had some deals where we had to play defense for, you know, the entire game just to eke out a win. And then we've had some games where we, you know, put some points on the board.
Speaking of Signal, they run the wing tee, and the front seven's your strong part of your defense. How do you think that matchup is going to go this week?
The biggest thing that sticks out to me about them is that all three of their running backs are really good players. You know, they run hard, they're fast kids, and they just make plays in every game. The quarterback is a guy with a strong arm, and he's got a big target that he likes to throw the ball to, and they've made a lot of big plays in the passing game. I am impressed with how they've been moving the ball and scoring points on offense.
Signal Mountain has a big wide receiver, number 9, that they'll just throw it up to and see if he can go make a play. Is this a game that Carter Shanks might follow him around, or how do you look to defend him and the wing tee?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of still in the process of finalizing how we're going to do all that. You know, they do a really good job of giving you some different looks, some formations that you really got to commit some guys to. You know, without making our guys do a lot of checking and stuff to get them thinking too much rather than reacting and playing. I've got you know, a couple more hours today to finalize it before they get down here after school to figure out exactly what we're going to do. He is a big target, I think 6'5", and he plays defense for him, so he's a good football player, not just, you know, a tall kid to throw the ball to. They've got pieces, and I told the kids this, they've got some guys that I refer to as heartbreakers, because they got some kids that are capable of breaking your heart and sending you home. You know, we've got to get our minds right and, you know, figure out a way to get these guys slowed down.
Coach, your pass game has played a lot better over the last month of the season. How do you feel about your offense heading into the playoffs?
I like where we are. We knew we had some talent at receiver. And, you know, we knew Donovan was capable of, you know, winning games with his arm. And so, you know, finally in the last 5-6 weeks has started to produce some points and some yards. And so I'm pleased with it. Can we get better at it? Yes. You know, we're still dropping a few balls that we shouldn't. You know, we've been able to, you know, bail ourselves out of some third downs and even put the ball in the end zone with our throwing game. Hopefully that'll open up, you know, what we really like to do, which is run the football. And, you know, if you can do both, it makes you awfully hard to defend.
Coach Kane said that Upperman must sell out to stop the run this week against Signal Mountain. Kane also said that Signal Mountain's speed at wingback has him concerned. We now travel to York to hear what head coach Derwin Wright had to say about York's win and your end game against Cannon County last Friday night.
I was just really proud of our coaching staff and our players. You know, we knew going down there that I felt like Cannon County had the edge as far as being at home, senior night, also playing for a winning record and a playoff berth. I knew that we were going to have to do some things that we hadn't done. I was just proud of the way they stepped up and saw some guys having fun playing the game again.
Coach, how did that game unfold, especially there late in the fourth quarter? Y'all took the lead in the fourth quarter, and then with under a minute to go, Cannon scores to potentially tie the game and send it into overtime.
Yeah, they did, and we're going for two, and freshman defensive end Forrest came off the edge, made a play, got a hold of the quarterback, was able to hang on and play the tackle to get him down to keep them from getting the go-ahead points. Our hands team came out, they onside, and our hands team did the job. We ended up needing to get a first, and then from that point, just run the clock out. Just did a good job in the end. hanging on and finding that way to make a couple plays and get the win.
And, Coach, you had a tough stretch of the year where y'all lost a handful of games in a row, but you lost some games, some really close games late in the ball game. How encouraging was it for you to see your guys win a close game like that and punch a ticket into the playoffs?
Well, early on, we lost some games like that when we were somewhat full strength, but we've lost 7 starters in the course of this year for the year. And what it's done is allowed a lot of other kids to come in and play, and they're starting to get a little bit of experience under their belt. It's going to pay some dividends in the future, but, you know, we are going to, and they're ranked number 3 in the state, and there's a good reason why. They're a very solid football team in Loudoun. I feel like, you know, we're going to work hard this week and try to come up with the best game plan we can, and, you know, it's going to be another week for these young kids to get under their belt. Ball bounce is funny, but I know we've got a real uphill battle Friday night.
You already touched on it a little bit about Loudoun County being ranked number 3. What have you seen from them on film this week that has really got your attention so far?
Their tailback, obviously, but they're all O-line and D-line. I mean, they're solid. They're a solid team. I can't look at them and say, okay, this is a weak point. This is an area that they're just solid. They got a solid football team, big kids and athletic kids.
You said it again earlier, but simply put, it's one more week of football for your seniors at least, and then another chance for, like you said, some of your young players to get more game experience with your 7 starters down. Some younger guys get a chance up. They get another week of practice. They get to play
right.
In another game,
yep.
Which will benefit you guys next season and the years to come.
It can, for sure, exactly. And, you know, it playoff experience is just an experience that I remember years ago when we wouldn't make in the playoffs. And we had a 7-3 team, went to a bowl game, played that bowl game. The next year, boom, we're 8-2, made the playoffs, had several playoff runs again. You know, getting that postseason experience and getting there is always a benefit for the future group.
Wright said with 7 starters out for the season, that he hopes that the extra playoff practices with his young guys will benefit them in the years to come. White County finished off their season with a 5-5 record. Head coach Mark Frazier said that he has seen the culture change with his team and the community, where they now expect wins on Friday nights.
But, you know, sometimes it just comes down to a few plays. We had a couple plays that didn't go our way. We had some deep throws that we just didn't connect on. Then we end up having a turnover, and they scored late, a desperation deal, you know, to make the score look a little worse than it was. One thing about it, we're not 1-point loss or 40-point loss. We're going to continue to try to win, do some balls up there late to make it look a little worse than maybe it should have. But that being said, it's a team. It's a good football team. It's well coached. You know, we had our chances, and we just didn't make the plays. And that's something, you know, we're going to have to get a little better at in the years to come, is whenever the opportunity arises to take advantage of it. But like I said, it just didn't go our way that night, and that's sometimes how football is.
Coach, what will the off-season program look like in White County this year?
Well, you know, we started last season with our off-season training. The bottom line is we've got to get in the weight room. We've got to get bigger and stronger. I think that's one thing that was evident throughout the season, was that we were not in the, you know, strong enough to play against some of these teams that have had some really good weight training programs throughout their freshman, sophomore year. So that's something that as a program we've got to get a lot better at. We're going to sit down. We actually plan on sitting down soon and discussing schedule and how we're going to handle it with nutrition and our working out. I think it's very important in the off-season to get stronger and get bigger and get a little faster.
So, Coach, how can you take the success you had this season, which was, you know, they haven't won a game since 2016, and apply it to next year with that new group of kids coming in?
Well, you know, a lot of the kids we had, freshman guys coming up, you know, one thing about me being a little bit odd as far as the 8th graders are coming over to be 9th graders, they actually were with us for 1 year down on the middle school level, so they still know us, and that helps a little bit with some familiarity with them, not being as nervous as you might be coming up. But obviously some of the younger kids this year, the 9th graders, you know, they had their own team, but they were around, so they kind of know what's going on. So I feel like, you know, everybody's going to jump right in and get ready to work. I think we've got a young group that's excited about, you know, trying to change the culture and the program. I think they'll buy in, and we'll hit the ground running as soon as we get back to working out here next week.
This group of seniors has been through so much as players. What have they meant to you, and this is your first season as head coach there at White County?
Well, I tell you, I've talked to them a lot about how proud I am of them, you know, especially when we got to the end of the year, buying in, doing something totally different than what they had done before. And, you know, that's tough when you go through, you know, they came in, did things, you know, every coach has different ways to do things. Not that one's right, one's wrong. To buy into a new system, I was proud of them 100%. And I think things go the way that we intend to. So they'll look back and say, hey, we laid the groundwork for what happened there in Sparta and how it changed. Very, very proud of them and what they accomplished this year.
Frazier said he hopes more athletes throughout the school will give football a chance, but his main focus this offseason's developing the players on his roster right now. In segment two of the High School Playbook, we check in with the Jackson County Blue Devils and the Cookeville Cavaliers. Thank you for joining us for segment two of the High School Playbook, the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Jackson County head coach Sean Loftus said that he thought his 2019 team really battled through some adversity this season. Let's see what Coach Loftus expects from his team next season.
Now it's finished because, like I said, we were in, I guess it was four games that were decided within 10 points or less. Out of those four, we were 1-3. So now we just have to finish, learn how to finish. And, you know, being asked that question, you know, last year it was all about, or this past season was all about competing, and now it's about finishing your work.
So how much downtime do you take now as a head coach?
When you say evaluate, that's what we're starting today. It's our, you know, we've got player evaluations that we'll do every single year at the end of the year. We've got a couple of kids that go immediately to basketball, so we'll start with those kids today, and then they'll go into their basketball season. And then for those that are either football kids or doesn't play another sport until baseball, you know, we'll take a little bit of time off. I think we're supposed to take 2 weeks off. So we'll do that. We'll get back in the weight room and get started before we're off for the Christmas holiday and break. We'll be definitely trying to improve on some of the things, whether it be agility and strength. So, I mean, we're going to have a lot of experienced kids coming back next season. But that is something that we will definitely be leaning towards is I think right now we've got 10 to 11 juniors that will be seniors that have played a lot of football. We've got somewhere around 8 to 10 sophomores that will be juniors. And again, these kids have came in at early on in their career and had to play a lot for us over the last 2 years. So we'll have a lot of experience returning, and now our biggest thing is getting into the offseason and getting stronger.
What seniors are you losing that you're going to look to replace as soon as possible in the best way that you can?
Cole Parkerson was a kid early on that was kind of our do-it-all kid. He played offense, defense, was on every special team, whether it be a returner or a kicker. You know, and we lost him somewhere around week four. You know, we had people that filled in for him. And of those three, you know, two of them played both ways and two of them were on the offensive line and defensive line. You know, offensive and defensive line is something that we actually had quite a bit of depth on because we rotated and played on the defensive line somewhere around, you know, six to eight kids. You know, offensively, we played about seven kids on the offensive line. You know, luckily, you know, those two kids, they had a lot to do with us, you know, getting better throughout the year. They competed. They were good leaders for us. Also, when you look at it for the next year's standpoint, you know, that is also a position that we do have some depth on. Hopefully next year we can just continue and some of the kids that were backups, you know, just get better with doing their job.
Loftus pointed out the advantage they have in the off season with their new weight room facility. Loftus was quick to give credit to Mr. Barlow, Ms. Brown, and the school administrations for their efforts in getting the facility pushed through. Cookeville head coach Jimmy Maynard said it's kind of unusual to have a 1 seed versus a 4 seed and both of their records be 5-5. Maynard said the similarities in Cookeville and Hendersonville stop with their records.
I really don't see a lot, to be honest with you. They're a physical football team. I mean, they're just a good football team. I don't, you know, their quarterback is a good player. He's a big kid. He's, you know, he's 6'3", 220, so he's a big kid. And, you know, their skilled kids are very good. They're probably not as big up front with their offensive line, defensive people. They play a lot of people. I don't know, you know, other than our defensive scheme, they're a 50 team, and we're a 50 team, but they're a man coverage, and we're not. So there's not, you know, they're a wing T, triple option, midline veer, outside veer. There's really not a lot of similarities.
Well, you touched on it just a second, but how do you guys match up physically and athletically with Hendersonville?
closer than we'd have the past couple of weeks with Blackman and Oak. They're not as athletic as those people. I don't, you know, but they still have a good athlete. They still have good team speed. They have enough speed in places that they need it. Very impressed with their offense, especially, is just very, very, I mean, we haven't seen any of that stuff that we're going to see. We've seen the buck sweep, and we've seen some of the wing tail a little bit, but we haven't seen midline veer. We haven't seen inside veer, outside veer, feed option. We haven't seen any of that stuff. So that really, it really puts a lot of stress on the defense. You know, they had Mount Juliet in the last game. They had Mount Juliet 41-0 before they substituted. It's a really a big challenge to try to get them stopped, and that's going to be a huge challenge for us. But you know, they're not as athletic. They're not as, I don't think, as like I said, as Blackman. Don't have as many skilled kids and as fast overall as they are. But they still have a very good team.
Making the playoffs is always one of the goals as you start the season. Now that you've done that, how do you make the most of that opportunity this week?
Another opportunity, everybody. And when you start the playoffs, you throw out the records because, you know, everybody's starting 0-0 right now. First of all, you have an opportunity to get another week of practice, which helps your younger kids that are going to be coming back. They get that extra week of practice, and hopefully you can get more, you know. And it's just, you know, I think high school football, the playoffs is really, really exciting time. I think there's nothing more exciting than high school playoffs. And, you know, we're glad to be there. We know that it's tough to get into the playoffs, number one, in our region, because there are so many quality teams in our region, and there's eight of us, so you know, you've got to win. You've got to win some games to get in, whereas in some regions you don't even have to win a game or two, and you know, because the regions are so small, you might not have to win but one game to get in. In our case, you know, I'm proud of our kids. I'm proud of our coaches. Like I said last week, that we were able to win enough games and fight back from a tough start to get our team into the playoffs.
And Coach, each week you advance is another week of practice for your young guys, and it's another week of football for these high school seniors that, in most circumstances, will never put pads on competitively again. So how valuable is it for your seniors and your young guys to get that extra time?
I think, you know, if you're a competitor, and those seniors, I know the ones that we have are competitors, and they want to continue playing. So I know that their time is short, and they know that, and I think that, you know, they're eager to continue to try to play and move on in these playoffs. So I think it is, and like I said before, it's valuable for your younger kids because they are, you know, they're getting some extra practice time and development time for the next upcoming season.
Maynard said that his group of seniors are a competitive group, and he thinks they will make the most of their opportunity in the playoffs this year. We hope you will join us for segment 3 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, as we check in with undefeated Monterey Wildcats and we see how things finished up for first-year head coach Eric Ballou and the Cumberland County Jets. Welcome back to segment 3 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Head ball coach of the Monterey Wildcats, Scott Hughes, said he hasn't had much time to reflect on the Wildcats' historic 10-0 regular season. Hughes said his focus is on the defending 1A state champs and first-round opponent, the Whitwell Tigers.
Very explosive. You know, when you look at them, and we've talked about this, not looking at people's records, their record is very misleading. Their quarterback got injured, and that kind of changed some of the stuff they're doing. And early on in the year, they played a couple 3A teams, a private school and a 4A school, and they actually played two games in 4 days, which is detrimental to your record as well. And so it's a team that was preseason top 10. It's a team that has four preseason All-State players, and it's a team that is very explosive. And they returned, I think, 4 out of 5 starters on their offensive and defensive lines off a state championship team. So this is a really good football team, no matter what their record shows.
And how difficult is it for you to, when you're talking to your players, you know, you show their record and you talk to them about the record, to get them not to maybe overlook them, because it is win or go home?
Our group's pretty mature, so they understand the magnitude of the situation, and they pretty much hang on what we say. Sometimes we have some difficulties in that, but they realize what they're seeing, and they saw the preseason stuff, and they've watched the body of work that Whitwell has on film, so they understand how good they are. And then we had actually seen them on film last year, so they're able to correlate the explosiveness and the power that those guys have off of last year's films as well against some really good competition.
What would a Monterey Wildcat win look like on Friday night against Whitwell?
We're going to have to play a a complete football game, and we've not really done that the last couple of weeks. We've gave up some explosive plays and you know, had to play from behind the chains a little bit on offense, and so we've got some things that we got to clean up. But for us to go out and win on Friday night, I mean, we're going to have to limit their explosiveness, and we're going to have to sustain some drives, and we're going to have to create some explosive plays ourselves. But, you know, at the end of the night, we just got to find a way to win, and this team so far has been able to do that, and proud of where we're at, and you know, it's a very mature football team that understands playing four quarters of football, and we've had to do that the last couple of weeks, which has been great, you know, trying to get us prepared for the playoffs. So it's one of those things our guys understand 48 minutes of football and actually playing a little bit longer if you need to in overtime, as we done 2 weeks ago. So it's something that I think our guys are focused on. It's something that our guys are excited about. And anytime you have excitement in practice on Monday, then you feel like you've got a great chance to be excited on Friday. And that's where we're at right now.
So over the last 2 weeks, you hit on it a little bit. You've been a little more battle tested. You went to overtime against Clay County, won a close game, and then got down 14-0 to Gordonsville. Do you feel a little better heading into playoffs that you've just not blown everybody out and you've had some adversity and your team's been able to find ways to win those close games?
Yeah, you know, very much. And if you even go back into our Bledsoe County game, you know, Bledsoe County has a tremendous record, and they're hosting this weekend 2A, and to go on the road and win that game, and then to win an overtime game at home, and then to go on the road and win at Gordonsville are huge wins for our program and huge preparation for the playoffs, because those are things that you can't simulate during practice. Those are things that you can't simulate in scrimmages, and just the atmosphere, you know, that was something that we were talking about, the atmosphere at Bledsoe County, the atmosphere for the home game, and then the atmosphere at Gordonsville on Friday night was huge playoff atmospheres. I mean, it was loud, you know, it was exciting, and so those are the things that people don't understand, that you can't create that atmosphere on a Wednesday afternoon for practice. And then to see the same size and speed that those teams have, you know, we have a roster of about 30, and we can't emulate that. So it's one of those things, you got to play in those games to get you ready to win in November, and that's our goal this year, is to try to do something in November that our school hadn't done a whole lot, and that, you know, we're on track for that. But ultimately, we got to fix ourselves before we worry about others, and that's something that we've kind of put ourselves behind the eight ball the last couple of weeks, is making mistakes in-house. It hadn't necessarily been what others have done. It's been the mistakes that we've made, and so we're really focusing on trying to clean ourselves up at this point in time.
Coach, you said last Friday, Monterey played a Gordonsville team at full strength for the first time since week one. Hugh said that he hopes the tough games at the end of the season for the Wildcats helps him prepare for a deep run in November. Cumberland County head coach Eric Ballou explains why he encourages his football players to play multiple sports during the football offseason.
First part is it's scientifically proven that, you know, you develop better athleticism when you do other sports. When you specialize, you're more prone to injury. When you specialize, you're more prone to being, you know, kind of a one-trick pony. You know, just the science and the evidence of it is obvious. I think last year, over 85% of the players in the college playoff between the four teams participated in multiple sports. So if that isn't enough evidence, you know, and it increases, you know, team or school morale as well when you're pushing guys to do multiple sports. You know, that way not one sport is, you know, hogging all the athletes or whatever. So I think we do a good job of that. The other head coaches here, we communicate well, and, you know, it just creates an overall more competitive atmosphere in the school.
So programs and players usually see a big jump from year one and year two. Will it take for Cumberland County to make a big jump in year two?
Well, I think the big part is just getting the kids to buy into what we're asking them to do. Our junior varsity team went 3-1 this year, had some big wins. So, you know, that's one thing that they have to buy into, that they can win. You know, whatever we're doing in the offseason, whether it's working out or whatever, we want to be 1-0 what's right in front of us. We got to get some wins under our belt. So whatever that looks like, getting a higher max each time we do maxes in the offseason, if you're running track, winning your race, whatever that means, you know, if I want to have a goal of adding 15 pounds in the offseason, you know, making sure that I do whatever it takes to do that so we get those offseason victories to get us rolling into the season next year.
Just talked about your young players a little bit, and ultimately your young players are going to be who's going to turn this program around. Who do you need to step up now with this group of seniors leaving?
We have a sophomore quarterback, Braden Pollitt, that we're going to ask a lot out of. He does a good job running and throwing the ball. We expect a lot out of him this coming year. We have Trevin McGee, who's a sophomore receiver, DB, we're going to ask a lot of as well. And I think just up front, generally, we're going to ask those guys to really get after it this offseason. They're going to have to develop some overall strength goals and create some, we're going to have some guys to add some more size to help us out up front. Those two guys individually and then collectively, our guys up front, you know, we're going to demand a lot out of them this offseason.
Ballou said that a turnaround with the football team starts with high-character student-athletes and the implementation of a high standard for the entire program. In Segment 4 of the High School Playbook, we will check in with two playoff-bound teams in the DeKalb County Tigers and the Clay County Bulldogs. Thank you for joining us for Segment 4 of the High School Playbook, the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. DeKalb County looks as healthy as they have all year, per head coach Steve Trapp. Coach Trapp, how does your first-round opponent, the Tullahoma Wildcats, look on tape?
It's almost like a mirror image offensively as far as, you know, they'll spread you out or they'll play with that sniffer in the backfield like a lot of teams are doing now and try to get some run game going. They definitely got some playmakers, that especially number two for them, that they'll put in different positions to try to get them the football. You know, it's business as usual for us. We just want to make sure that we're prepared mentally and physically and make sure we get out there and play good football.
It looks like at receiver and a couple of their safeties, they have some pretty good size, height-wise anyway. How do you guys match up with that on defense?
It's pretty consistent across the board for those guys. You know, there's some 5'11s to 6'2s, which I feel like that's pretty much what we are as well. You know, so I think it's a good matchup. It's pretty even. Like, I think it's going to be a really good football game.
And what's the recipe for you guys to move the football up and down the field on the Wildcats this Friday?
I mean, we got to be clean. You know, I tell my guys all the time, you know, I describe our offensive philosophy as clean and crispy, like Sunday morning bacon. So that's what we want, you know. And what goes into that is, you know, the old coaching cliches, you know, you don't want to turn the football over. You want to be good on first down so that when you get into those third down situations, they're more manageable. You know, that's offensive football in a nutshell. I mean, we'll take big plays, you know, if they're there. But really, I put all my quarterbacks and our offensive philosophy has always been, hey, let's get first downs, and eventually we'll run out of grass. And if we do, we're going to be in the end zone or putting the ball through the uprights either way. So that's really what we got to do. You know, eliminate any kind of pre-whistle or post-whistle penalties. Stay clean as far as turnovers go and be efficient on first down.
You talked about your starting running back not really having played at all this season, but Nathaniel Crook had a big night against Cumberland County last Friday night. Were you guys just able to impose your will on them?
Yeah, just really proud of Nathaniel. Like I said, coming into this, you know, he was pretty much third string on a depth chart and coming off a labrum surgery as well. And, I mean, he wasn't cleared until that very first week of the season, that very first game. And, you know, wasn't expecting my starting running back not to be there as well. So we went into that one not anticipating him playing a whole lot as far as Nathaniel goes. And then the guy that was forced in there to start for, he got hurt on his first carry. So Nathaniel had to come in there. And, you know, he still had to get 100% healthy. So he battled through a lot those first few games. But these last couple of weeks where, you know, he's been in that force, he's really done a good job for us. He's not going to blow you away with his speed, and, you know, I just tell him, look, you're not going to get 30-yard runs, 40-yard runs. That's not your game. That's not our game. So just think of every play as fourth and three and get me five. He's done that very well. I think last week he had 26 carries for 223 yards and a couple of scores. I can really only think of one other time that I've had somebody rush for more yards than that in a game since I've been coaching here, and he'll be the first to tell you that that offensive line really helped out last week and was opening up some big holes. But he did his part by sticking his foot in the ground and getting up in there and getting those yards when they were available.
Through the past 2 years in the playoffs, Region 3, which consists of Livingston Academy, DeKalb County High School, Cumberland County, Stone Memorial, and Macon County, have gone winless against Region 4. Coach Trapp said that he hopes all teams in Region 3 fare well in their matchups this week against Region 4, not just for school pride, but for pride in the Upper Cumberland. The last time that a high school from Clay County hosted a home playoff game, the school's name was Salina. Red Bull and Springs didn't stand much of a chance with a motivated Clay County team and a home playoff game on the line.
No, and our kids kept focused pretty well, so I was proud of what they did. You know, we essentially played the first half, you know, let the starters play, you know, that way we can keep the rust off and everything like that. And then, you know, it was, hey, let's be cheerleaders, let's coach the younger guys and develop them. And that's something they're pretty good about, if given the opportunity.
So as you look forward to Sell Creek, one thing I noticed when they played Monterey earlier in the season, they were really big up front. How do you plan to attack them?
You know, big is something we've seen, you know, all year. You know, White County was big. Gordonsville was big. Monroe County was big. You know, we're undersized. That's just who we are. However, but it's the same thing we always do. You know, I feel like we're good on the edge. We're good on the perimeter and really try to make the best of our speed.
Sell Creek, they have been up and down this season. How do you expect them to play this Friday night?
Well, and that's the thing about it is, you know, they're a program that's on the up. They've not been around that long. I believe this is probably the highest seeding they've ever had in program history. You know, Coach Fox down there does a great job. And they're really starting to get kids out. They're not the usual Sell Creek team you think of. You know, however, I feel like if we do what we can, you know, I feel like we can play with anybody. But it's still going to be tough. Postseason games are not easy.
Clay County head coach Jake Johnson said a goal at the start of the season was to host a home playoff game. Johnson expects home field advantage to play a major factor in this week's game against Sell Creek. We hope you will join us for the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook, the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, as we check in with the winningest head coach in Livingston Academy history, Bruce Lamb, and the undefeated Wildcats. And we check in with the head coach of the Pickett County Bobcats, Ray Reagan. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook, the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach Lamb, you're now the winningest head coach in the history of Livingston Academy football. How does that sound? Is that kind of surreal to you?
Well, it's hard for me to to understand that and get a grip on that. I mean, we've had some wonderful coaches here at this school, and Matt Eldridge. I mean, what can you say about Matt Eldridge? He won the only state championship in the history of the school. Just a great guy, and was director of schools here. It's just amazing, that kind of goes along with my name now. But it's not me. It's not me because there's, a lot of assistant coaches that I've had have been just great guys that come out and work their butts off. And the credit goes to them and to the players that I've had. I've been blessed with a lot of great players in my 12 years I've been here. And it's not about me. It's about them.
Coach, not many programs around here have ever gone 10-0, and you were able to do that with Livingston Academy this year.
Well, I like to say I can, but I really can't because, it's playoff time, everybody's 0-0 right now. It doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. You're in the playoffs and you're 0-0 and you fight for your life in the playoffs. And, regular season, you have another game next week. Playoffs, you don't. I mean, you got to go out and play your best and win and, get ready for the next week. But one of these days I'll get to sit down and relax and just enjoy it.
Well, after a rain-soaked game in York last week, Will McDonald made up for a night where y'all really didn't throw the ball, came out and threw for 340 and a school record 6 touchdowns. How special of a night was that for him?
It was a great night for Will, and that's the least amount of I think passes we've thrown since I've been at Livingston Academy with only 7. I think he's had 7 attempts, and it's just a testament of what that young man's done and worked in these 4 years. And he played great this past Friday, but I can't just say that it was only Will because I got wide receivers that's getting open, catching balls, and the offensive line, they didn't give a sack, and running backs who were hitting holes. We were firing all cylinders this past week, and when you got that, somebody's going to stand out and do what they did this past week.
And defensively, you guys really clamped down on Macon County, only allowing 6 points, and that was late.
Defense has played well all season. They're very disciplined. Coach Hauser has done a great job with them. And, I don't say enough about Mark Winningham and Wade Eldridge and Tyler Livingston, my other 60 coaches who get in there each week and get the game plan ready to go. And, it's amazing when everybody's on the same page what you can get accomplished.
The Region 3 that you're in has gone winless against Region 4 for the past couple years. What do you see from Maplewood that gives you concern?
Well, they're very athletic and very fast. That's something we've not seen a lot of this year with the speed that they have. I don't think they're as physical as some of the teams we played, but their athletic ability makes up for that. So we have to make sure that we are very disciplined in what we do, and we need to make sure that when we tackle somebody, we wrap up, not try to arm tackle.
Your region going winless and kind of maybe a little bit of the disrespect that's given to your region because there's only 5 teams and you haven't won a game in a couple years. So just how do you think not just you guys will fare against Region 4 this year early in the playoffs, but the rest of your region against Region 4?
That region has been stopped for the last few years. And we've played well against everybody we've played. We just couldn't pull one out. We'll go out there. We had a regions meeting yesterday with all the coaches, and we all sat down. And, it's one of those things that we all just need to go play. Stop worrying about everything that's going on and what's happened in the past and playing the now.
Pickett County head coach Ray Reagan's son is the offensive coordinator for the Bobcats. Coach Reagan reflects on some of his favorite moments through his playing and coaching career.
Probably the proudest I was is I watched him struggle like a lot of teams have through there. And, I think it was 47 offers to play college football, and that just shows to the, dedication and hard work he put that a lot of college coaches seen exactly what he could do, no matter how bad, his record was in high school. Yeah, that was probably the proudest. Just know that everybody else seen what I seen. So,
Coach, the difference I've seen in your program is simply just the lack of numbers. What are your plans to get some more of those boys at Pickett County High School to come out and play football?
Yeah, we had big numbers at the start of the year, and when we lost that kid in a car wreck, it just kind of cast a shadow on our whole season, and it's kind of fell apart. our numbers actually this year was the highest they'd ever been at the start of practice. Just fell apart after that. So I don't foresee our numbers being a problem. I think there'll be more and more continue to want to play. We've come a long ways with building the program and having nicer equipment. Just takes time. You know, like I said, numbers was good this year, and I think they'll be back up next year.
What has this group of players been able to give you this season?
You know, whenever we lost that kid, it all started to fall apart. You know, some of my older leaders, they left. They won't play anymore. You know, it would have been easy for these guys to walk away too. You know, knowing what they was facing, that it wasn't going to be the season that we had hoped it would be. This group of kids, they stood strong. They showed up and practiced every day. They went out there and played, even though they knew the odds were stacked against them, and give me everything they got. You know, I won't forget that. These kids here, they showed a whole lot of character. They stuck with me. I stuck with them, and I'm proud of them.
So, Coach, I know that a lot of your kids will play basketball and baseball. So how much time will you take off before you start to look into next season and start to some of your off-season program?
I usually wait until after the first of the year before I start preparing for anything else. I've got to have at least 2 months of my own just to kind of kick back and forget it. But sometime after Christmas break, we'll start putting our numbers together and start getting them in the weight room.
And what does the off-season program look like in Pickett County?
Lifting. You know, a lot of conditioning, lifting weights. We don't do a whole lot of spring work because, like you said, a lot of the kids, they play baseball or whatever it may be, and we share a field with the baseball team, so, you know, we don't want to be down there tearing up their field. But mainly conditioning and weightlifting and some classroom stuff. We'll go over what we plan on doing. Once I see what kids we have and what I think we can do, we'll go over that, you know, start putting playbooks together and a little teaching.
Thank you for joining us for the Week 12 edition of the High School Playbook. The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com Saturday morning to see how all of the playoff teams did across UC Sports Nation. UC Sports Nation, driven by East Tennessee Ford.